Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of Dear Abby. I am your humble host who will be guiding you through today's episode. Welcome back to Dear Abby. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. Yada, yada, yada. We don't have to do this, you know? You don't care. I don't care. You know, let's not act like we care about how each other's days are going. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I do hope you're having a wonderful day. Hope you have great fun plans for this weekend. Great fun. Today, we are talking about grit. I want to talk about grit because it's something that is important in life. And also, I wanted to talk about grit in OCD recovery specifically. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And before that, of course, we'll do some dubs and some L's from the week. I'll give a couple life updates. But we're then going to just jump on into the episode. And then we'll end with a Dear Abby question. This question was about having somebody break up with you, having been in a relationship, thinking they're the one, and then they break up with you. And you may have made some mistakes along the way, and you know, you're just trying to navigate that. So that's what the question is about. I never really tell what the question is about because sometimes I don't listen before, but I want to give good advice, so I do sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I don't know. It just depends. But that just FYI, that's what the question is about. So stay tuned, I guess, for that. For those of you that are new to my podcast, welcome. Hi. And I talk about OCD a lot because I have it and I've had it my whole life, quite literally since I can remember. So it's a big part of my life. And we talk about how sometimes that big part of my life can feel like it's my whole life, but I know it's not. And I talk about recovering from OCD and everything in between, as well as just normal everyday stuff and in your 20s. And I brain dump a lot of what's happening in my head. So that's what this podcast is. There's other things. We have fun. We used to play games. We don't anymore. I totally could start playing games again more. It's just hard to think of them. But okay, here we go. Jumping in. So my dub for this week is that I've been very consistent in not shaming myself for not working out, because I was in Arizona, so I was visiting some friends. I didn't eat the greatest, and I didn't really make it a priority to work out or do anything. And when I did, it was a very lazy workout. But hey, at least I did something. But I normally would let myself shame myself into getting up and doing something again, but I said not today. And I just let myself have fun and eat and not worry about working out, and then just have it be organic. And now I'm back in the daily routine, even though it's hard to get back in. It is so hard to get back into a routine after you've been out of it for like even a weekend. So that's what I've been doing this week, is getting back into my routine. And that's a hard thing to do. And I'm proud of myself for even attempting to get back into the routine the week after getting out of a routine. So that's my dub. Instead of spiraling and telling myself I'm a lazy son of a gun, I just was like, yeah, I just kind of fell off. Hey, I just kind of fell off. It happens. My L for this week is unfortunately a little bit more of a serious one, but basically I've just been giving unintentional silent treatments specifically to my husband, but also in general. I am somebody that gets very overwhelmed with feelings, thinking, trying to process things, trying to understand something completely. Am I right? Am I wrong? Is this feeling right? Is this feeling wrong? This is something I'm working on currently. What I'm working on specifically is when I feel overwhelmed to communicate that to my husband and say, hey, I feel a little bit overwhelmed, overstimulated, and also I'm trying to process everything. So I don't want to talk. I just need some silent time, and it's not like I'm not trying to like be mad at you or trying to give you a silent treatment. It's very unintentional. I don't know what to say. I don't even know what I'm feeling. So I just need a little bit of time to process everything, to come back to neutral, and then I can continue the conversation, or maybe we'll just be over it at that point. But I've been bad at communicating that up front. Instead, I just kind of go silent, and then I just am sad, silent girl, which is not helpful to my relationship because that's not fair. So that is a bit of an L. I got really good at it, and then now it just feels like it's all over again, and I have to remember to just, even if I don't want to say anything at all, I just have to at least say like a one sentence of like, I'm not mad, and I'm not purposely trying to go silent to prove anything. I feel very overwhelmed. I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I think. So instead of me blurting it out or whatever, I just need a little bit of time. Please and thank you. I saw this video that said my nervous system can't tell the difference between when my husband's energy is a little bit off and me being attacked by a bear. And I feel that, and I relate to that. Another L, honestly, I guess a lot of L's this week, was this happened at work. When I was working, my boss came to work on something with me, and he was watching what I was doing, and he's really nice guy, really good boss. But I, doesn't matter who's watching me, if I have somebody watching me in Excel or doing anything formula-wise, calculation-wise, it freaks me the freak out, and I feel so dumb, and I freeze up, and I'm like, oh, what, how do you copy? Just overthink everything because I'm scared I'm being analyzed at everything that I'm doing, and so I freak out, and I'm like, stop breathing down my neck, I know how to do this, okay? So he was watching me, and I kept forgetting stuff, and I was like talking to myself for some reason, like under my breath, like a psycho person, like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, duh, oh, duh. A lot of oh, duhs, because you'd be like, well, I'll just do this. I'm like, oh, duh, Abby, oh, duh, is how I felt. And so that didn't feel good. And I just wanted to say to him, like, I am capable, okay? I know how to do this stuff. I'm capable. I do this every day. I could do this so fast if you weren't watching me. But for some reason, when someone's watching me, I can't perform. I cannot do my tasks as well as I normally do. So let this not be a representation of my skills. I don't want this to represent the skills that I bring to our team. Doesn't represent it well. And the worst part is I also needed to type up an email, and oh man, and I was so slow at doing that. But unfortunately, that is the one scenario where it doesn't matter. I'm alone or somebody's watching me. I'm horrible at writing emails. I'm not horrible. I'm actually good at formatting them to make it like nice, but like also kind of serious, like exclamation point, maybe one time in the email, the rest are periods, except for maybe the thank you at the end. You know, I know how to flow it. I know when to put the colon, when to put little dashes, bullet points, 1, 2, 3, when to highlight things. And but at first, when I'm trying to just type something out, I don't know how much information to put in there. So I have to redo emails so many times to make it just short and sweet, concise, has the information we need, no extra information. I had to learn that because sometimes I'd send emails and they were way too long with way too much information, and no one wants to read that. So you keep it short and sweet and concise with the necessary information. So unfortunately, he had to watch me type up an email, and I quite literally froze. Didn't know how to type out a simple sentence, apparently. Okay. Well, that is it for my life updates. I think there is more, but I can't think of them. Let's jump into the meat of today's episode. So the meat of today's episode is we are talking about grit. What is grit, you may ask? I think you know. We all know. It's nothing new. But I think this word needs to be thrown around more when it comes to recovery. Okay? With anything, honestly, but the only thing I have experience in recovering from is OCD. The reason I think grit is an important word is because OCD is so freaking persistent, and it pulls all the tools, everything, all the time, all at once, whatever that movie is. And some of us are in a spot where it's every second of every day almost we have intrusive thoughts, rumination, urges, compulsions, avoiding all of those things we have almost all day because that's where we're at with it. And so the change that it takes and that it requires to actually start to form different patterns in the brain takes grit. Grit to me just means character. There are days where you can just be nice, relaxed, chill. And I like that energy. But also, I love a good, strong character with grit. And they do what they need to do, and they do what the best thing to do is, even if they're a little bit unsure, or even if they feel fear or they're scared and it takes a lot of courage. Grit is courage. Grit is persistence. Grit is character. Depth of character. So, and that's the kind of person that I want to be. Is it because I've seen a lot of animes with really cool characters who have grit? Probably. But in all seriousness, I think grit is needed, and it is a blessing and a gift. So what does that actually look like? Well, it made me think of at the very beginning of my recovery, I remember my first exposure I ever did. That was like a successful exposure, you know? And by successful, I started to understand what I was doing, where I actually did the response prevention part of the exposure. And I remember I was in a really bad place with my religious OCD and scrupulosity. I didn't like to read the Bible because I'd get intrusive thoughts about what if I hated God, what if I would harm somebody, and it just was harm with religious, with sexual, with a bunch of different themes all meshed together. And I really did not like to read the Bible or any scripture. And so for exposures, we would read scriptures together. So we would get on a call. I remember telling her my intrusive thoughts and feelings. And this was one of our first calls, like our second call maybe. And it's really scary because you're scared that they're going to say that you don't have OCD or that you don't qualify or something. But at this point, I had already been diagnosed, but I was sharing more specific details of what, like, the content of my thoughts were. And we were starting to explore what I'm scared of. She was like, okay, it sounds like a lot of them are religious. So we did the whole hierarchy thing, which is basically you create a hierarchy of what scares you the most versus what scares you the least, but still kind of scares you. And then you start to add exposures into those slots. And then you start to practice those exposures. So you start kind of at the 5 or 6 level, not the 10, and then you work your way up to that 10. Which eventually that 10 will start to feel like a 5 or a 4 or a 6 or something. So while we're working through this in that session, she was like, okay, let's do one exposure before we end the session. And we started reading scriptures. And I remember reading it and having all of those obsessive thought patterns that I've had basically my entire life come up. And I was sharing this with her saying, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And I remember her saying, okay, that's OCD. That part that's trying to get you to understand it all right now with everything that needs to make sense right now. You need to figure out if God loves you or hates you or if you're good or clean right now. She was like, what if you just didn't try to figure that out? So let's just start with that. Let's just start by not trying to figure it out. I was like, okay. I just let those thoughts come up and go. And she's like, yes. Yes, you do. And I was like, okay. So I remember I did that a couple of times in that exposure because I just kept coming back, and then you'd kind of ignore it, it goes away, and then it comes back. And then as we continued, because I was having those types of thoughts and obsessions every second of every day, from the second I opened my eyes, I'd have like maybe 2 seconds to myself. And then all of those obsessions would come back into my mind, and my heart would feel heavy, and I'd feel like be filled with dread of just being alive, honestly. And then I'd go to bed, and then I would have horrible dreams that were like OCD dreams, which was not fun. And so that, and I'm sharing that because I know a lot of people have been in that loop or are in that loop where that's like their life right now, is it's all day, every day, it's all consuming. It feels almost impossible to go from thinking about something all day and having this be such a stressor point for you all day to have it be only a couple times a day or maybe not even at all during a day. That seems so impossible sometimes. In order to do that, though, it takes a lot of grit and depth, and you have to pull it from like the very depths of your soul sometimes to even be motivated to help yourself or even be motivated to change, because OCD can be debilitating also in the sense where you carry a lot of shame, and also it's like, what's the point? There can be feelings of intense hopelessness and helplessness, which can feel like they're true, but feelings are not facts, especially if you're like, if you have OCD or you're in depression. Those feelings are not facts. That's how you feel. And you need to sympathize with yourself, okay? You need to be compassionate to yourself, no matter what anyone else says or what other people say or what books or, I don't know, random person on Instagram says. Or somebody close to you, if they think like you shouldn't be super compassionate to yourself, or they're like, oh, you're just being a baby, whatever, all of those things. I talk about that all the time, but it's really important, because the more you're compassionate to yourself, the more your heart will be able to be encouraged to keep moving forward. And I swear that's where I got a lot of my grit from, is being extremely compassionate to myself and understanding. That's kind of where my grit started to come from, is because I focused on that. I think also another word that coincides with grit can be, other than character and courage, is consistent. With OCD, is because the way that your brain has formed those patterns over a couple of years, or maybe your whole life with obsessive compulsive disorder, the reason it's like that is because you've been persistent and you've been consistent in responding a certain way. So in order for it to be the opposite, or in order for any change to happen at all, you need to stay consistent at least as consistent as possible. Okay, this isn't an opportunity to use all or nothing mentality of you either pass or you fail at recovery. But you do need to stay consistent to be able to start to change those thought patterns and the brain function and those, how that works. I talked about running in a couple episodes before. Running also takes a lot of grit, and so does working out or moving your body at all consistently. And the consistency is what really helps me continue to have that grit, because I don't even let myself talk myself out of it anymore. I just am like, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this. It's frustrating with OCD because it can feel like it's 700 layers deep. And I sometimes forget that, because I've felt a lot better and I don't have that as many layers as I used to with my OCD. And what I mean by layers is this kind of a thought pattern. Let me paint a picture. Let's say you are in a conversation with somebody and you're having a really bad OCD day, or you're feeling depressed and you have this heavy feeling and you have all of these thoughts, you feel overwhelmed. A lot of what you're thinking about is worrying, and it's also not really reality based. It's just what ifs. And you've been having thoughts about harming somebody, let's say. Like, you've had intrusive thoughts all day about harming somebody because you saw a news channel that talked about somebody who like hurt somebody else. So that you've been obsessing about that all day. It's been in your mind. You've been ruminating, trying to figure out if you would do something like that or not. Did you like watching it? Did you not like watching it? Was it entertaining? Is that bad if you thought it was entertaining? Does that make you a bad person and like heartless? Those thought patterns are very common with OCD. And then somebody reminds you that maybe knows a little bit about your OCD. You're having a conversation with them. You meet them for lunch or something. And they say, hey, how are you doing? You say, good. They say, how's your OCD been? You say, it's been okay. Today's kind of been a hard day. And then the person responds like, well, hey, you can do it. And then immediately in your brain, the shame and OCD will reply back being like, they don't even care. They don't even care about how you are. They don't actually care. They're busy with their own stuff. And then you continue to have the conversation back and forth, all while in your brain, that OCD part of you is shaking hands with shame, and they're saying all these things like, this conversation doesn't even matter. What does this matter? I'm never going to be better anyways. I'm never going to feel better. What's the point? I've tried this, this, and this. I kind of want to just get out of this conversation because I don't want to think more about this stuff. So I'm going to try to avoid this conversation. And also, I just want to get out of here so I can go home and get on my phone and distract or start looking at things that'll make me feel better and will take the anxiety away. So that's what I'm going to do. And so then you kind of convince yourself to get out of the conversation and go home and do exactly that. And then that's where the cycle continues. So that is to show and paint a picture of the how persistent OCD is and how many layers deep it can be. Because at first it was just you saw something on the news, and then all of a sudden at the end of the day, it's like, what's the point of anything? What's the point of me trying to get better? So hopefully that paints a good picture of how consistent or persistent OCD is, at least. So you have to match that energy with the opposite attitude. So instead, if you wanted to have that grit and be consistent, instead of when your first thought of the day was, oh, I'm watching a news channel, oh, somebody hurt somebody else, would I do that? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So it takes a lot of freaking grit to combat that, because that is a lot. And it was a lot to talk and it was a lot to say, but also that's kind of how it feels in your brain. You have to be consistent, and you have to not just go back and forth like, okay, we'll do response prevention, then we won't, and then we will, and then we won't, because you'll skip some progress, which is good. So there's a win. Let's focus on the wins. But also, it is better to stay as consistent as you can with recovery and with responding back. This is what I like to envision with sometimes my OCD in my head. Picture this. Da-da-da-da-da. You're walking across the street. You look to make sure there's no cars. And you're like, okay, there's no cars. And then your OCD is like, wait, are you totally sure there's no cars? And you're like, okay, check one more time. Okay, I think we're good. Are you sure? Like, you've been really tired, so maybe you're kind of losing your mind a little bit, and maybe there's multiple cars coming. You're about to get run over. Two options. One, you can say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go back to the street, to the sidewalk where I'm safe. I'm going to check another time, make sure there's no cars for a really long time, and then I'm going to run across. That's what I'm going to do. Bad option. Okay, that's the bad option. Option number two. You go like this to the little OCD monster inside of your head. You go like this, hey, and you grab it by the collar like this. You go, hey. You go like this, hey. I know what you're trying to do, okay? There's no way for me to know if I'm gonna get hurt right now or not. I gotta trust my senses. It's all I got, okay? If you start making me question that, it's gonna make me question a lot of other things, and then I'm gonna feel more doubtful than ever, okay? You don't control me, okay? Thank you for trying to help, but I don't need it. And then you throw them on the ground. Then you go up and you kick it. I'm just kidding. There's no need for violence, but you just throw a little OCD monster on the ground and say, no, thank you, not needed. Or, you know, you don't have to throw them on the ground. You can just gently put them back on the ground and let them walk away. But basically, that's the attitude. That's the grit. Like, hey, no, not today. Okay, not today, get behind me. And that's quite literally what I do now is I'm like, no, actually I'm not doing this. You're trying to help me, you've never helped me. Not once have you ever helped me feel better, do anything better with my life. You keep me stuck, you keep me like the same hermit, whatever. So no. So yeah, grab them by the collar, say, no, not today. Throw them behind you. Move on with your day. Walk across the street. If you get hit by a car, you get hit by a car. So that's grit for you. Okay, well, that's it for that. If hopefully any of that made sense and was helpful. And yeah. Okay, moving on. So let's do the Dear Abby for today. And it is a text message, so I will read it. Oh, and so because there's so many layers deep, you got to have that grit so many layers deep. You got to pull deep, deep, deep within, okay? And don't be scared to go there because you have so much strength in you. You have so much strength in you, I promise you. You got to give yourself a chance. You got to give your little heart a chance. Let your heart, let your soul show you how strong you are and how much you can do in this life, not just with OCD, but just in general. If you feel complacent, whatever it is, you have so much, there's so much in you. Okay, it says, Dear Abby, I know you from listening to what we said, but I never watched till now because I thought you only talked about mental health, and that's not something I needed to hear. To be fair, that is kind of all I talk about, and a lot of people don't necessarily need to hear that. So, no worries. I'm ashamed to say I was wrong and desperately need help mentally. Okay, fair enough. Here's my question / comment. I know you went through a divorce and I know you are or were a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so you might be familiar with what I'm going through. I dated this guy for a year and he was hesitant to get married. Finally, he told me to pray and fast about it and I was really excited that he was finally committing. A day or two later, he told me he didn't love me. Cool. He told me all my flaws, including things like I was too picky of an eater, too dependent, and apparently I'm too short. So dumb. Also, I'm sorry that happened. It doesn't feel good when somebody is saying that they're praying and fasting, or they know they want you to do all of these spiritual things, and then they are hurtful a day or two later and telling you things that like is stemmed from their own insecurities. That's just kind of what, when someone's mean to you, that is what it's stemming from. That doesn't feel good, especially if your faith matters to you or your relationship with God and somebody kind of uses that against you. That's a really not good feeling and it's yucky. So don't let him take your power and that. Take it back. Okay. Don't let him do that. I loved him so much and he hurt me so much. In my head, we truly were married, even though obviously in reality we weren't. It's been 6 months now. I don't feel this overwhelming pain anymore, but I don't feel happy either. I'm doing everything right, meeting new friends, eating healthy, working out, finding hobbies, etc. I think I'm also hurting because I made some mistakes with this guy, and as you know, that's a big no-no for our church. But I haven't told my bishop either because I'm terrified. After your divorce, how long did it still hurt? Is it normal that I'm still sad even though I don't necessarily miss him anymore? When will dating be fun again? I feel like I compare guys to my ex and am frustrated with the necessary small talk of getting to know people. I'm also scared to tell someone I've made mistakes in the past with someone else. Help, what do I do? Okay, a lot to dissect here. First things first, when you say I made a mistake and that's a big no-no for our church, I understand the guilt that that can bring if you went further than you wanted to and you wanted to save yourself for marriage, or I don't know exactly what that meant for you, but I understand feeling hurt, and that's okay. That doesn't feel good and that you feel bad for it. That's such a personal thing. And if you, and just know that like God's not mad at you. He's not disappointed even. He's not anything else. He's not anything other than fully loving you, and he's nothing else but totally understanding and accepting and understands you and understands your heart, because it's so personal and it shouldn't, and it doesn't have to be just about it's a no-no for our church. It can just be it didn't feel good and you wish that you didn't do it, period, because he didn't show you that he cared enough about you, and you might feel very vulnerable in those situations, and so you shared it with somebody that didn't really care too much about it, and that doesn't feel good. So I don't think it needs to be a big guilt-tripping thing for yourself. If you feel like you want to tell somebody about it and that's how you're going to get past it, then that's up to you, and you will be able to figure it out, and you might already have because this was a little bit ago. So with all the spiritual religious aspect of this, don't let anybody take or feel like they've tainted the relationship that you can have with God and with your faith. So God, even if someone is claiming something about God or that they are close to him or that you should be more like them because they're better, and then they hurt you, that can be, when somebody claims that they're like all high and mighty and then they really hurt you, that can be kind of psychologically confusing and can be damaging to people who care about their faith. So just know that, like, he is not God, and that's, he is totally separate from God and how God feels about you. That is what he feels versus what God feels is not the same at all. And so don't let that get mixed up in your head. You are seen completely differently through God's eyes. So don't let that be held against you or be a point of shame. Okay. And then you asked a couple questions. So let me go through one by one. I'll try to make this quick-ish. So number one, after your divorce, how long did it still hurt? Honestly, because he was talking to other girls, I lost interest in him very quickly, because that just kind of grosses me out a lot, where I lose attraction to you and I also just like completely detached. So for me, it was actually pretty fast, but that's because that was the situation. But as far as hurting in general, not like missing him, but hurting, was for a long time. And that's, and it's also the realization that somebody can hurt you that bad, I think, is what's painful. And anytime someone breaks up with you, it is like just shocking that somebody can hurt you that bad. And so you have this understanding that people can hurt you. And that's also kind of a sad thing to feel and know. So that could also be why you're hurting, is because it's just an overall sense of, oh, relationships are scary and I can be so in love and somebody can absolutely rip my heart out. You say, is it normal? I'm still sad even though I don't miss him. Yes, very, very normal. I think almost everyone experiences that, and it's a very normal thing. There's nothing wrong with you. Just let yourself feel sad for no reason. You don't have to always have to figure it out. There could not be a big old reason. It could just be you feel sad. When will dating be fun again? I think when you have maybe your confidence back, because dating is never going to be fun if you are insecure, because it'll just, you're going to be too much in your head. You're going to be thinking, do they like me? Do I look pretty enough? Why didn't they try to hold my hand? Or why didn't they kiss me? Or like, why didn't they, like, are they not attracted to me? All of those things. But it will be fun again when you have your confidence back up. So just work on building that up. I know you said you're doing all of these different things, but sometimes if you're doing too much, it can be a little bit of an avoidance thing to how you're feeling. So I would just be aware that some of the, a lot of activities can be an avoidance to something internal. That could just be a feeling, or maybe you just need to let it out or cry or be present with yourself or with your feelings again. And then you can get back into doing all those fun things, because those are obviously amazing for confidence building. Yeah. Okay. Well, those are all my answers to your questions. Okay. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Dear Abby. If you want to support the podcast, you can go like, subscribe, comment on YouTube, leave a rating and a review on Apple and Spotify podcasts, as well as if you want, you can share it on your story, or you can share my podcast with anybody. Word of mouth, anything is helpful and really does help me and the podcast grow and find the people that would like to listen. I think that's it. Yeah. If you want to follow me, I have an Instagram now, it's just Dear Abby Podcast, if you wanted to follow me on there, where I post stuff about the episodes. But yeah, hope you guys have a great weekend. Love you. Bye. Ooh, hey, I'm taking a ride to join it late. 눈치 보면서 들어가 할 때 찾아. 나머진 바빠. 개 설레임 바꾸는 사람들. 시간만 지나가 자신감 가지고 해와 그냥 천.